You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinee, who is on a well-deserved vacation for the couple days. She'll be back on Tuesday, but I'll be sitting in the big chair with, of course, Sweet Cal B behind the boards. And for the first hour, my guest co-host is none other than the Civic Media Chief Morale Officer, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, which means, yes, it's the return of Bach in the Dock.
Bach in the Dock. Yes, we are back to rock your world for
yes,
a little while.
Yes, for one full hour, the two of us will be rocking your world. So we got a really, really, really packed show for you today. We're going to be talking about all the news and of the world, actually. We'll be starting with some breaking news in a moment, but talking about all the, including tariffs in Wisconsin. We'll be talking about Musk Buck's return. Is there going to be another pandemic, another epidemic? We don't know. We're going to talk more about that with Dr. Lyerly because she's much smarter than me. And I, friends, got a sleep study. So, and then the second hour, my good friend Hari Kondabolu will be our guest from 11 to 11:30. He's a frequent player on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR. And then, of course, this shouldn't be a thing. But before we do all that, I want you to get in your heads for right now for 11:30. I want to know what show was a short-lived show that you loved, one or two seasons that you just loved, that you think everyone should watch because it just meant so much to you, but it's gone now. It was just too perfect for the world. It had to go away one or two seasons. So 11:30, that'll be the question. Favorite short-lived show that you want to share with us. Now, before we do anything else, we do want to talk about the news that's breaking out of London Heathrow Airport. Apparently, it's shut down today. London Heathrow Airport
not
is
just today, but for many days, it's going to be shut down.
Yeah, and that is going to cause a major, major problems for world travel because it's, you know, it's a hub. And people, tens of thousands of people, if not more, a day go through that airport. Probably hundreds of thousands, actually. But, it's being shut down through Friday for a massive fire caused by a power outage, sending hundreds of thousands of people in the UK and around the world scrambling to make alternate travel plans. So just wanted to break that news really quick. Apparently, the fire is under control, and but it will be shut down for today and in the oncoming future until they reopen. But we wanted to give you that breaking news really quick. But Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
I'm good. As I was thinking about this Heathrow thing,
yeah,
like this is potentially the busiest connecting airport in the world.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's one in China too. There's got to be like a huge, I mean, this is, you know, I'm thinking like it's like Denver or Atlanta,
yeah.
times 10.
It's bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And it made me think about, like, I travel a lot and I fly a lot and how my travel patterns and the way that I approach travel has really changed since COVID.
Yeah.
Because before COVID, I mean, the German in me, I suspect you're a little German, Greg Bach. The German in me is always like, I must be on time, at least relatively. Like, here is my plan. I am organized. I have to get there. And then COVID happened and I was like, I might get there and I might not get there. And now I'm like, well, if I get there, that's great. I'm going to try.
If I get there an hour and 45 minutes before the flight, I'll be fine. But even as I say that out loud inside, yeah. I'm like, that's when all the lines are going to be. That's when all the lines are going to happen. So, so that is the breaking news out of London, England. And if there's anything else to report, we will let you know. But one of the things you wanted to talk about, Pat Kreitlow talked about this earlier in the week, or I believe last week. And it was the fact that, as we know, the current president believes that tariffs are going to save the world. They're going to be the thing that fixes everything in this. Even though we had a great economy, he feels like tariffs are going to make our economy even better. But it seems like other countries want to retaliate, and those retaliations, Dr. Lyerly, seem to be forecast to hit Wisconsin incredibly hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw this last time with the last Trump administration, so it's not like we're just guessing here. what happens is, you know, we initiate a tariff and then they retaliate and then they start thinking about where can we get things from reliably. So they start creating other supply chains. So for example, China is one of our biggest trading partners and we sell a lot of soybeans to China. And where I live in northeastern Wisconsin, which is a huge, our economy is based in agriculture. My family, farmers, like it's personal for me. We sell a lot of soybeans to China. With the last Trump administration, China found other places to buy soybeans and that really affected farmers. We ended up, the federal government ended up having to pay farmers for the chaos and the financial deficits that were created. And you know, farming isn't an industry where people are making money hand over fist. I mean, there are some farmers who do really well, but most farmers are really just getting by. It's tough. So when you look at what's happening with these new tariffs and the tariff retaliations, which are much bigger, and we're at the very beginning of this, and you're looking at our main trading partners, China and Canada and Mexico, you're looking at the dairy industry and the soybeans that we grow, we are anticipated to be the worst hit state as a result of these tariff retaliations. And northeastern Wisconsin in particular is expected to be very badly hit, with up to 10% of the people who work and live in these areas being affected by this.
And going back to what you said, as far as like the Trump administration having to, the first administration having to basically cut a check to our farmers, that was in the billions of dollars. That wasn't just like, here's $10 million. And $10 million I won't shake a stick at, but in government terms, that's not a ton of money. But we're talking about payments made to farmers in the billions because they couldn't do work. And Pat said it on his show. You said it. The farmers we talked about it have said it. Jane has said it. A check is fine to make things run so you don't have to shut down. But farmers want to farm. They want to work. They're not looking for a – if they have subsidies or if they have partnerships with the government, there's payments expected. We don't know if they'll be getting them anytime soon now. But they don't want to just be handed a check so they can sit on their butt and do nothing. They want to work.
They love their jobs.
Yeah.
And if you take the tariff stuff and put it on top of some of the other things that are happening, the cuts to conservation efforts, where farmers have been working to make sure that they are taking care of the land. You got to take care of the land if you're going to have a productive farm, if you're going to be able to turn a profit from the produce that you create and the animals that you raise. They're putting time and energy and effort and love into their farms. And those programs have been cut. The USDA food programs that help local farmers. I'm part of an organization called Wello up in Northeast Wisconsin that helps to connect small local farmers and the produce that they create to local food banks and schools and other places that need this local produce. Creating that pipeline. The pipeline isn't automatically there. Just because you grow it doesn't mean you have a place to sell it. That's gone now. So these farmers are, they do what they do, to your point, Greg, they do what they do because they love it. And they don't want to grow all this stuff just to watch it rot in the fields. They want to sell it. They want to know that people are using it.
Well, and also, you know, I'm glad you brought up conservation too, because I feel like one thing we always discuss on this show is there are some things that all Wisconsinites, or a vast majority of Wisconsinites, should come together on. And one is that our farmers are very important.
Yeah.
They contribute to the Wisconsin economy, the nation's economy, the world economy. But also, as Wisconsinites, conservation of land is of the utmost importance for farming, for vacationing, just for, you know, the environment. And to think that there are people out there who would say, nah, that's not important enough. Let's see what happens. Let's see what Trump can do, because he's not going to protect our environment. And Robin Voss is not going to work extensively to protect Wisconsin environment. And so it just blows my mind that you would think farming and conservation would be two things that we could all just be like, all right, that's the one thing we can all get done together. It's the one thing we can protect. But no, we're here now doing this.
I think most Wisconsinites would agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening with cutting all of this stuff, I don't think there's a lot of thinking happening. I think, you know, what we've been seeing is this giant machete that's just looking at numbers and saying, this isn't that important, that isn't that important. And then they're coming back and recognizing that actually, yes, those things were important.
Mm-hmm.
So this ready, fire, aim approach to cutting spending in the federal government, and what we're starting to see here in Wisconsin as well with the GOAT committee, this is not what Wisconsinites want. I believe that Wisconsinites do want to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse. I get that.
Yeah.
But you don't do it by going in and just taking away a whole bunch of stuff and then trying to figure out what you need to put back.
Yeah.
You do it by auditing these programs and looking at where are these areas where we can cut, where we can be more streamlined, where we need more resources. That's the smart thing to do. And I think that's what Wisconsinites really, really want.
Well, let me put it to you in a way that you definitely understand. In doctor terms, you have worked with cutting tools in your career. If you have a patient and you need to maybe cut into them to remove something or do a procedure, do you pick up an axe or a chainsaw or some blunt force instrument that's going to cause the most damage? Or are you going to use a scalpel to work precisely to the area you need to get to do the work you need to find the thing that needs to be removed or added or whatever? I mean, I don't know. I don't see a lot of doctors with their handy dandy hatchets.
I'm going to blow your mind.
Whoa.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Not only do we use a scalpel,
yeah,
or a laser or a number of different things to be very precise, yeah, but we have different kinds of scalpels.
Should have been a doctor.
Yeah.
That sounds so
some
cool.
Some of them have like a big broad blade, almost like a machete, but they're tiny. Mm-hmm. And then there are tinier versions of that.
Yeah.
And then there's the one, the 11 blade is my favorite. It's pointy,
yeah,
but it really depends on like what kind of an incision do you need to make, mm-hmm, and what is your purpose here? And you know, it's not just a scalpel versus a machete. It's like, how fine can you,
yeah,
get that scalpel? How much can you fine tune this?
And that's the thing, is you have those discussions with your colleagues, with the nurses, with the patients, and you, mm-hmm, figure out what needs to be done. And then you go in and you do it meticulously and with purpose, not just to say, hey, look what I did. Oh, by the way, those 29,000 employees we had to fire, where they're, we had to rehire them back. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but that's boring.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like cutting with a fine scalpel is not interesting.
No.
But when you come in with a machete and you're just going through a crowd of people, that gets headlines.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we know about this administration, is they want headlines,
yep,
not actual impact.
Alicia on the live stream says, I was told by the vice chair of GOAT on Wednesday that their entire focus is cuts. That sounds about right, which, by the way, you can get in touch with us by dialing 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
Do it, or drop a
comment on the live stream. Text us. Get in touch. We're going to break really quick. We're going to get some snack and some waters. Don't go far. You listen to Matt and Air on Air with Greg Bach. Bach and the Doc is back. Don't go anywhere. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation. She'll be back on Tuesday. But for today, you've got me in the big chair and, of course, Calvinator at the boards and my guest co-host for the first hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, which remarks the return of Bach in the Doc. God, I love that so much.
He's so crazy.
Calvin is the best. Before we went to break, we were talking about tariffs. We were talking about spending cuts. We were talking about the difference between this, you know, surgically doing it versus smash grab slash burn with no forethought of what could happen down the road. We got a great text. I wanted to just say this really quick because I put it in terms of you as a doctor, what instruments do you use? And one of the things I also mentioned is that you talk to colleagues and you talk to patients and you talk to nurses. Sally in Mequon says, and before the scalpel comes into play, there are tests and clinical data that is garnered and assessed for appropriate interventions. Yeah, yep. Exactly. We have no problem. I'm not going to speak for anyone. I should just say I have no problem with, you know, making sure that all government entities are working to the best of their abilities while being as least bloated as possible. But just walking in the room and being like, all right, everybody on the right side of the room, you're fired. Have a good day. And then taking credit. That's just not a way to do business, period.
No, people don't like it. Everybody that I've talked with, I mean, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, people who aren't even paying attention, it just makes us uncomfortable. We all want something better. We all want the government to function efficiently, but what's happening right now is not serving any of us, and it's just getting started.
Exactly. And if you want to be part of the conversation, you can call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or drop a comment on the live stream. Yes, Dr. Clearly.
I need to give a shout out to Mark from the SAC.
Yes.
Because we had a big rally in Madison on Tuesday, and guess who I met?
I'm going to go Mark from the SAC.
Mark from the SAC was there. It was so cool.
All right.
You know, to be able to actually see him live and in person, we got a selfie.
All right.
I'll send it to Civic Media. Maybe we can put it up on our somewhere.
Send it to me.
However we do that.
Well, Mark from Prairie du Sac, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for calling, and thank you for being at events and saying hi to Dr. Lyerly. It's always great to hear from you, friend. Now, I mean, he's not back in the news. He's always in the news in some way or another, but there's a new theme on an old tune, which is Musk Bucks. Musk Bucks are back, Dr. Lyerly. Tell us all about the return of Elon Musk, voting, and money.
I don't know what happened last night, but in 15 minutes, three different people texted me and said, did you hear that Elon Musk is paying people $100 to sign a petition about activist judges? And this is not new.
No.
He did this back in the presidential. He was paying people in swing states $47 mm-hmm. to sign a petition related to the, I think, First and Second Amendment. And really, the goal here is to see who his voters are and also to encourage them to register to vote. So there is the potential here. You can't do that. You can't pay people to register to vote or to vote. That's not legal.
No.
So it's a very fine line that he's walking. But it's a strategy that he's tried before. Obviously, it bore some fruit for him. Although apparently he didn't make good on some of those promises.
Well, there was the $1 million prize, like the daily $1 million. I mean, where are we living on? Even Idiocracy is a smarter landscape than this. Like literally, like it's a lottery for, it's just. And then I think about like 2 years ago, and this is back when Mark Zuckerberg was somewhat a nice human being, but I think he was doing it more for like the public, the rebranding and the repair of his public image. But he was sending out grants to governments all over, to local governments all over the country, just to help with the process of voting, like not to influence people to vote a certain way, just to say, all right, here's some extra money, hire more people if you need it to make the process go faster, especially in larger cities, because historically, in larger cities, the voting process is slow.
Well, and we underfund our voting process.
Yep.
So this was a big deal in Green Bay.
Yep. And it was a big deal. It's always a big deal. It's always a big deal. I mean, the Wisconsin legislature did not vote on this. And I believe it passed the assembly, but it didn't pass the Senate to say that Milwaukee could start counting ballots on the morning. So make it go faster. And Devin Lemieux said, that's not my job to bring up those votes. That's exactly your job. You're in charge of the Senate. But that's not the point. The point is they didn't go through it. So they knew there was a problem. There was a solution to that problem. They said no to the problem. And then later that year, they're like, Milwaukee, ballot dumps. Look at all this. Look at all these problems. It's always going so slow. Brad Schimmel is talking about it again in his race for the Supreme Court. And Mark Zuckerberg was trying to grant money to municipalities to help this, and then we voted to say, no, you can no longer do this in the Wisconsin Constitution, and they called it Zuckerbucks, but nobody has a problem with Musk literally, like, pretty much bribing people.
I think people do have a problem with it.
I'd like to hear more of I'll let me rephrase it. I'd like to hear more people in elected power have a problem with it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is, I mean, the ethical. Yeah. Although he breaks every ethical rule.
Yeah.
He, and that's the whole point. He's interfering with the judiciary right now because he doesn't like what the judges are doing with all of this crazy stuff that Donald Trump is just, you know, spearheading and running over the other two branches of government. And so when that check comes in, he doesn't like that this unchecked executive power is now being checked.
Yeah.
So this is his push to win the judiciary over. But I don't think it's going to work.
I really hope you're right. I really hope so, because, man, I'm serious. I feel like when we voted Justice Prosewich in, there was an energy about...
You're having a hard time with that name, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of coffee. I just feel like Wisconsinites don't want to... We don't do well with millionaires and billionaires trying to get their way into our politics. Didn't work with Tim Michaels. Didn't work with Eric Hovde. I don't want to work for Elon Musk. And I think the Wisconsinites are stronger and smarter than that.
I totally agree with you. I think Wisconsinites value authenticity.
Agreed.
And we can see right through that. So do I think it's going to work? No. But I'm not going to feel good about it until all the votes are counted on April 1st.
Exactly. And that means you got to go out there and be a voter April 1st. We'll talk more about this show, how you can be a voter, vote early in person. But we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the measles, because they're not going away. Even though we got rid of them, they're back.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Return of Bach and the Doc on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on a well-deserved rest. We'll be back on Tuesday, but you got me in the big chair along with Sweet Kelby on the boards and our first hour co-host for the day, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, which means it is the return of Bach and the Doc. There it is. And as Rob from Tigerton says, Bach and the Doc, mid-morning edition. All right.
We'll take it whenever we can get it.
we were talking earlier about as we were getting out of the last one, we were talking about voting. We were talking about the importance of showing up, and it's important to be a voter. April 1st is the election. It's Tuesday, April 1st. Right now, though, absentee in-person voting is available at your local municipal building. You can find that information by going to myvote.wi.gov. Plug in your address. It will tell you where you can absentee vote early. It will tell you what's on your ballot. It will tell you who represents you. But most importantly, it will also tell you if you are registered. Because if you are not registered, even though it's a spring election, it might make the experience go a little bit longer. And luckily for now, you can still register in person on the day on voting. But make sure you find out all that information, myvote.wi.gov. For all the information, be a voter. Everyone who's anyone is a voter, and being voters cool, man. Am I right, Dr. Lyerly?
Have you already voted?
I have not voted. I'm going to vote next week. I made a plan. I'm going to go next Tuesday after work. I'm going to go do my thing, get my little sticker, and I'll be good to go.
I like it. I love the in-person voting because I love getting the sticker and I love like just talking to the people. But I don't in-person vote because my schedule is all crazy.
Yeah.
So I know, and it's so important to me that I do vote. So I absentee vote every election.
And the other thing too, and I notice this like especially when I'm at the when I in-person vote early at the city hall or the municipal building. I always thank everyone who I interact with, like deeply. Yes. I'm like, thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you for your help. And it makes...
Those are all volunteers. Yep. All of those people are volunteering their time.
Yep. And they are people who are, a lot of them are retired. They don't have to be doing this. They don't have to be helping. They can spend their time at home. They've earned it at this point. But when That's you right. say thank you with a heartfelt thank you, you can see it in their face because either people are blowing past them doing their thing or, ugh. If there's a problem, they're going to yell at anyone who doesn't have the ability to fix it before they find someone who's in charge. So,
right.
Yeah, just be courteous, be kind, give gratitude to the people who are helping us out in a very important time. But yes, myvote.wi.gov for more information. Alicia on the live stream says, I'm going next Wednesday on my day off. Very nice. Love that. Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
Dr. Lyerly, we had you on the show last week to talk about this with me, you, and Jane. And I don't know how to talk about it in any other way because I'm not a doctor and I don't know the history. But essentially, we have a measles outbreak started in Texas. It's making its way through other states now. And am I wrong? Measles was something we had eradicated.
I have never seen a case of measles.
That's right. That's what you said.
I started medical school. Yeah, I started medical school in 2003, and I have never seen measles. We learned about it. We learned how contagious it was. We know that it's been around in other parts of the world, and we've seen periodic outbreaks. We saw one in Minneapolis among the Somali refugee population. We saw one in, I think, Philadelphia during the first Trump administration, where Alex Azar was the head of HHS, and his messaging at that time was very serious, very on point. This is dangerous. We need to take this very seriously. And we were able to sequester those folks, make sure they got the treatment that they needed, and there was no further spread from those outbreaks. But this time, it's very different.
I want to make that clear again. During the Trump administration, the first administration, Alex Azar made a plan, and it was executed to take care of this. So we know that from that administration, at least the first one, this can be done. Because now I feel like in the current administration, it's almost laughable to say we need a plan to take care of this from the federal government. Like states needs help. States will need help to get vaccinations, to get centers made where people can get sequestered. I feel like that's almost a laughable thing now. We're never going to see that, especially coming from a guy who doesn't believe in vaccinations for the most part, or is highly, highly suspect of them.
I can't even say laughable because I'm so worried about it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm not just worried about what's happening in Texas. Measles is incredibly contagious. Mm-hmm. So it's already out there. Yeah. We're already being exposed across the country. We just haven't seen it. This is a burgeoning epidemic, and it's going to be a huge problem. If you take nothing away from this conversation today, please take this away. Measles is coming, and if you are not vaccinated, you will be at risk. Mm-hmm. And if there are young children in your world, you will put them at risk. And young children get sick. They can become blind. They can develop brain infections. They can die. So if you truly care about young children, please seriously consider checking your vaccine record just to make sure that you have been vaccinated. If you think you've had measles and you haven't been vaccinated, you can always go to your doctor and get a titer to see if you are immune. But please take care of yourself so that we can take care of the most vulnerable people right here in our own worlds.
And I want to add to that when we've had people who are, you know, want to be skeptical about vaccines or skeptical or always pull out the car. I love this one. It's not that big of a deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I want to remind them that, you know, because they want to look at especially the medical experts, the scientists, and point fingers and you know, cast aspersions. You currently aren't making hundreds of millions of dollars from Big Pharma right now by just simply telling people to take care of themselves and check their vaccinations, right? You're not swimming in money like Scrooge McDuck in a bank full of gold coins. That's not the state right now.
I'm not even making money being here with you today, Greg. I do this as a public service.
Yeah.
Because I love it. And I'm really, really, truly committed to taking care of people and getting truth out. And, you know, yeah, I get it. Like when I talk to my own patients about vaccines, I don't, you know, ramrod vaccines down their throats. I say, it's time to get your Tdap vaccine. This is what it means. This is the impact. This is what could happen if you don't get it. These are the things that could happen if you do get it. I want everybody to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
But an informed decision means that you know all the risks and benefits, and you are making a very individualized choice based on your own personal circumstances. And that's just not for vaccines. That's for everything you do in healthcare. Everything needs to be an informed decision.
unfortunately, I feel like nowadays people think an informed decision is going to an unverified website that has no corroborating information from scientists, you know, academics or doctors, where they say, hey, look, they said this vaccine is going to cause mutated autism in my baby.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. First of all, we know over and over and over again, the MMR vaccine does not cause autism.
Yep.
So if you believe that, that has been proven wrong repeatedly. But the thing that, one of the things that makes me so worried about this is that with the new Trump administration, they have so already hobbled our nation's health infrastructure that, take the CDC, for example. This is the organization that when there is an outbreak of something like measles, they send a team of people there to sequester it. They make sure people are treated and vaccinated, and you know, they try to keep it where it's at. That's not happening right now. And not only is that not happening, but the information that they're sending out to the rest of the doctors across the country, typically I would get an email once or twice a week. These are the things to watch out for. This is how you treat this. This is where you get more information. I haven't gotten one of those emails since the Trump administration took over. And the CDC website has not updated their measles information in nearly a month. And that is really, really weird as this, what we know will be an epidemic, is brewing. And it's not just measles. It's bird flu. It's tuberculosis. There are so many things that we've been able to keep in check that are no longer being monitored the way that they have been. Our vaccine strategy, our public health strategy, is almost a victim of its own success in this way, because we feel like, oh, it's just not going to happen to me. But I guarantee you, folks, it is going to happen to us because the infrastructure is crumbling. So we have to take care of ourselves and take care of our people.
You sent an article over earlier this morning from CNN that says, as bird flu continues to spread, Trump administration sidelines key pandemic preparedness office, which is something they actually did when they got in office the first time, too. They did, for unknown reasons, like I'll never understand why they just decided to dismantle this group of people, just as we're seeing, you know, within a few years, we're going to see COVID come through and decimate over a million people in our kill over a million people in our country. And on top of that, how many more millions would be get sick, long COVID? You know, I mentioned it to you. Someone referred to it as a paralyzing event. Mm-hmm. That people would be permanently affected by this. Meanwhile, a few years before that, they said, "Let's just give it. We don't need this." And I'll never understand why. Like, I can't imagine it cost. I can't imagine that having this group cost the country millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. This was a group of experts to come together and, as we said earlier, share their knowledge, come up with plans, and be prepared in case something happens.
And it's not just us here in the U.S. It's worldwide. We saw how COVID spread. We were watching it, remember?
Yeah.
We were watching it spread through Europe. And I remember what was happening in Italy and thinking, oh, that's going to be us. As we were hearing President Trump saying, oh, it's in Washington State, but it's going to go away. Like, there's no way it can go away.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with measles, too. But we knew this was going to happen. RFK Jr. was saying, we are going to dismantle our pandemic preparedness. We don't need it. And now we're hearing Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is, by the way, a lawyer, he has no training in medicine, suggesting that we should just kind of let bird flu run rampant and just like run its course, because that is maybe the most natural thing, I guess, in his mind. But in my mind, the more people have died of bird flu already.
Yeah.
And the more exposures, the more contact that bird flu has with people, the more the virus will mutate and the more it will become successful at killing and maiming people. So the goal was to keep it under control, but now the cat's out of the bag, and it not only is it harming and killing some people, but it's harming dairy herds.
Yes.
You know, back to what we were talking about earlier with tariffs and the hit that farmers are taking. We're seeing this in our cattle, in our dairy industry. We're taking the wrong approach. It is not natural. It is not okay to just let viruses take over. We can control this. We're being irresponsible.
And in having preparedness programs too, and preparedness teams, Cassandra says on the live stream, the cost in prevention and preparedness is significantly less than the cost of dealing with a pandemic. And that's absolutely true. When you have a plan in place and you have money set aside to take care of whatever you need to take care of, you can spend that money and you can do what you need to do. But other than that, it's going to be, I mean, how much money did we spend on COVID for how many years? It's, again, make it make sense to me why any of these groups would be taken apart, dismantled for what? To give them a vacation? I have no idea. And I just feel like it's absolutely, it's criminal in my opinion, because people are going to die because of this.
What's the cost of a human life? Mm. What's the cost of a little four-year-old girl's life? She doesn't know. Yeah. She needs us to protect her. So when it comes to bird flu or measles, it is our obligation as adults who are thinking and logical and connected with each other to actually think about what our goals are here and how we can best take care of each other.
Yep. Wonderfully said from an expert we have with us today, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, the Chief Morale Officer of Civic Media. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, I had a sleep study, Dr. Lyerly, and I can already feel that you're proud of me for that.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Bach in the Dock on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. See you soon.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on a well-deserved vacation until Tuesday. But I'm sitting in the big chair. I got Sweet Cal B on the boards. And for the first hour, the Chief Morale Officer of Civic Media, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, also known as Bach and the Doc.
Whoop. Oh.
We hired a guy to do that, Dr. Lyerly. We hired someone to do that.
I always want to do it. So
I can see you getting the hair teased up, Axl Rose style, like early 80s. I can see that.
I've got a picture.
I'm sure you do.
Every time I go to my hairdresser, I'm like, could we please get a perm?
I like that you call your hair. She's like, your hairdresser.
My stylist.
I'm going to get my hair done this Sunday. I'm going to look like Axl Rose on the Sunset Strip. All right. So we have talked about this for a while. You know, you've always been very concerned. You are an OBGYN.
I am.
And you do not see male patients. You see non-male patients. And, but I feel like you are my doctor regardless.
I'm here for you. Yeah, I can't help with things like your prostate and stuff like that. Like I'm not totally up to date on that, but when it comes to, you know, fundamental
still
health
there,
things,
but yeah, but you've
when
always
it comes
been
to things like, you know, cholesterol and blood pressure,
yes,
and sleep, all of those things that we all need to be, you know, doing well on. Yeah. We can talk about that.
So, you know, for a while that I've been having problems with sleeping, problems with, you know, just, you know, weight issues, things like that. So I decided to finally go get a sleep. I would go inquire about my sleeping because I know that it was taking a very, very, very big toll on me as far as, you know, my energy levels being below normal. But just, I mean, it's exhausted is not even the word to use sometimes. It was just worn out where I could not, like, falling asleep everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that is,
sleeping
and
I'm going to. It's so important. If you're not getting a good night's sleep, then you're trying to compensate all the next mm-hmm. day and you never get caught up. And then you go into the next night and you don't sleep. And, you know, pretty soon you're just a mess.
And even a quote unquote good night's sleep is not a good night's sleep when you're not sleeping mm-hmm. properly. And I have snoring issues and whatnot. And I'm going to admit it right now on the air, and I'm not proud of this. And I want to say this because I want other people, especially men, if you're listening, because I know men have a hard time with dealing with their own health issues and going to the doctor and facing up to that. I was falling asleep at work. I was falling asleep at home sitting on the couch. I was falling asleep while driving. I was falling asleep everywhere. And
that's so scary.
So it finally got to the point where I said, I need to learn how to do this better. So I went to an office to get a test, and I went through a sleep study, and I found out that I have severe sleep apnea. I snore a great deal. And I also there was a part of the readout said how much oxygen you're supposed to be getting to your brain while you're sleeping. Well, 97% of the oxygen was not getting to my brain at certain points while I was sleeping.
That's so scary.
So none of it surprised me. I was actually laughing as he was reading the report, and I go, everything you're saying, I told anyone who would listen, this is what was going to happen, because I knew how bad it was getting. So he prescribed a CPAP machine. I'm going to be hopefully getting it next week, and I'm looking forward to having what will probably be one of the best nights of sleep ever, because if you would ask me a year ago, excuse me, it was always like, I'll do it later. I'll do it. And it was getting to the point where it was becoming so detrimental to my health and just to my energy. And I'm still feeling like it, but I'm excited now that I've done something about it, I want anyone who will listen, like, hey, are you having problems with sleeping? Go get a sleep study. It doesn't have to be a CPAP. It could be a mouthpiece. It could be something with your sinuses. But the sooner you know, the sooner you will. Because a friend of mine who's kind of walked me through the process has told me that, he said, by the end of the week of that first week of having the machine, I was a new person. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for always staying on my case about it and asking me in the most charming ways that you can, because you are charming, but you also, you stayed on my case, and I appreciate that. I really, really do. And I wanted to report back to you, and I wanted to report back to everybody, because if you listen to this show for a while, you know the things I struggle with health-wise, and it's about taking those first steps, and we should all be doing that. I know it's scary, especially in an American healthcare system, but the alternative is much scarier, in my opinion, you know, so.
I am so very proud of you.
Thank you very
because
much.
It's not easy. For two reasons, it's not easy. One, you think about, well, once I start doing this, there's going to be all this cost because our healthcare system is not efficient. So that's a barrier. But there's the psychological piece. You know, you start thinking about, do I really want to know this about myself? And is it really going to make a difference? And do I want to sleep with the CPAP on my face? And how is that going to disrupt my life? And can I just like stick it out? Maybe things will change. But you know inherently that they won't.
Yeah.
But think about the benefits.
Yep.
Your blood pressure is probably going to get better. You may lose some weight. Your mood will be better. Your life.
Let's go back to lose weight, doctor. How about that? Talk more about losing weight. Is that true? Can I sleep myself skinny?
You can sleep yourself skinnier. You'll probably have more energy. You may want to go for more walks, get some regular exercise. I mean, it all, you know, you are not just one thing. You are not just the number that appears on your cholesterol test. You are a whole human being.
Yeah.
So anytime that we think about like, what's the next best step for you, we have to take all of that into consideration. And I've got plans for you, Greg.
Yes, doctor. Dr. Lyerly, I want to thank you for being my first hour co-host today. I always love having you around, whether it's on the show or just in real life. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Chief Morale Officer for Civic Media, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, has been our co-host for the first hour. Thank you so much again for being here, Doc.
I love hanging out with you.
Ditto.
Thank you, sweet Cal B.
Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Mr. Hari Kundabolu will be my guest. We'll be talking about comedy. We'll be talking about, you know, whatever we want to talk about. It's our show today. So stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.